Frankie Montas was not 100% when the Yankees traded for him last season. Did the Yankees front office make a big mistake?
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Yankees. I'm your host, Stacey Gatsoulias, and as always, Locked On Yankees is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, and we'd like to thank you for making us your first listen every day. Introducing, as always, my producer, Steve. Steve, what do we have on the show today?
Today's show, WBC underway. We'll get you some updates from the World Baseball Classic overseas. Aaron Judge talking about Anthony Volpe. Some interesting comments. We're going to dissect that here in our second segment. But first, our first segment, Stacey, you teased it at the top. Frankie Montas with an interesting update from spring training.
Interesting is definitely the word. So Frankie Montas basically revealed that he was not 100% healthy last year when he was traded to the Yankees, but he emphasized that he does expect to pitch this season. Now, he underwent surgery on the labrum, in his pitching shoulder. And he was at first they thought it was possible that he was going to miss the whole season. But when they went in, they didn't have to repair as much as they were fearing they may have to. So he's definitely going to miss the first half of the season, but he expects to come back. The right-hander told reporters on Wednesday that he tried to push through shoulder issues when he joined the Yankees last season after that August 1st trade with the A's. He said, "I got traded to a new team and I wanted to show what I could do. Things didn't go the way I was expecting." Nor did they go the way the Yankees expected or Yankee fans, because when he came over, it was pretty exciting because we had seen what Montas was able to do. And it was a disappointing acquisition because he got hurt right away, and then he was hurt on and off and didn't really contribute. And when he did pitch, he pitched to an ERA north of six. Now, Brian Cashman told Joel Sherman last month that Montas came to the Yankees with a clean bill of health. And he added, "And obviously, he wasn't healthy, so the trade goes into a bad category. We gave up assets, and we didn't get anything for it." Then he also said, and this kind of drives me crazy, and let me know in the YouTube comments if you agree, "There's also a part of the business. That's also a part of the business. I've traded players that have gone on and gotten hurt elsewhere, and I've acquired players who have gotten hurt. You just don't want to be a part of it, but it happens." Now, there's a difference because they acquired someone who was hurt. He didn't become hurt when he came to the Yankees. He was already dealing with shoulder issues, and the Yankees knew that before they made that trade. And just to refresh your memory about that trade, they got Montas, they got Lou Trevino, not to be confused with Jose Trevino, and the A's got left-hander J.P. Sears, left-hander Ken Waldichuk, right-hander Luis Medina, and second baseman Cooper Bowman. And we've heard about Sears, we've heard about Waldichuk, even Medina, and it's every time those names are mentioned, I cringe.
Yeah, it was a lot to give up. And I think at that point last season, you were giving up a lot, but you knew what you were getting back, at least at the time. I don't know how much blame you can put on the front office, because it doesn't seem like the A's knew that Frankie Montas was dealing with things either. Right. So there's only so much blame you can put on. I mean, if a guy is feeling hurt and isn't saying anything, I mean, he can't read anybody's mind.
True.
So yes, it's a lot to give up. I think at this very moment in time, this looks like a very poor trade.
Yes. But that also shows you, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, there is a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. There's two things I think of here. It's, I mean, you always want this guy. You want this guy to be in the rotation. Yeah. You're not really hurting for him right now, though. There's a lot in that rotation. So you don't have to be too like, oh my gosh, doom and gloom here. So that is one caveat there. And the other side is, it looks like the surgery went better than expected.
Yes.
And he is going to potentially be able to pitch this season, which, what, a couple of weeks ago seemed like that was not going to be the case. So there is some light at the end of the tunnel here.
Yes. There's no target date set, but he'll resume playing catch in about 9 to 10 weeks. So a little over 2 months, which is from now, which is amazing. So that's May, which is crazy to think about. So it could be one of those instances, and people always talk about this, where, you know, it's almost like you're making an acquisition at the trade lot deadline, even though you're not, you're just gaining a player back. And that would be kind of ironic if the guy that they got at the trade deadline last year makes a difference after the trade deadline this year, which would be nice. But what I was going to say earlier is him not disclosing how injured he was just shows you the kind of pressure that a lot of these guys feel in order to play the game. And you hear about this so much from certain guys where they don't tell you everything that you need to know. And I don't know if it's the culture of baseball. I don't know if it's the culture of sports that makes this happen, but you know, some guys can end up hurting themselves more if they do that sort of a thing. And it's just a shame to see it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. They have that pressure. They feel that pressure. And when their name gets mentioned in trade talks, like, it's that much worse. Because, you know, not only are they trying to perform for the team that they're actually playing for, but they're swirling with all these ideas in their head that, hey, I might not be here in a week. I might not make my next start. They might scratch me at some point because I am in a deal talk and they want me to pitch in New York tomorrow. You know, that's a lot to deal with. So, you know, you don't blame Frankie Montas at all for this.
Yeah.
You also got to remember, too, that players aren't doctors. They don't necessarily know that there's something that wrong. Like, yeah, my shoulder's hurting, but it's July and my shoulder usually hurts at this point anyway. And it has for the last 10 years. Like, that you don't know. You don't always know what's wrong with you. Perfect example for me. I broke my hand diving back to first base. I still ran the bases. And then I went out to right field and tried to warm up and then realized I couldn't close my hand on the ball. I sat out there through two batters, and then I finally was like, okay, actually, you know what? If a ball comes my way, I'm not going to be able to throw it. I have to kick it in. So, and then I went to the doctor. So that happens. Adrenaline's rushing, especially in a, you know, heat of the moment like that. But you push because your whole career, you've pushed.
Yeah.
So again, I don't think Yankee fans should be mad at Frankie Montas in this situation. This is clearly not an ideal spot for him to be in. He would love to be the Yankees 3, but yeah, he can't. He would love to be out there performing. But again, I don't think anyone should be mad at Frankie Montas in this situation.
Looking for a delicious treat? You got to try Built Bar. What makes Built Bar so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievably amazing flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. And they're only 130 calories. They have 4 grams of sugar and 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around for a box, because we've been telling you to go to Built.com, order the box, use our promo codes, but now you can go to Walmart or Sam's Club. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. And if you're close to a Sam's Club, grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter and churro. Run, don't walk. So Aaron Judge played left field today, but barely played left field, meaning nothing happened because Gerrit Cole was pitching. He was striking people out. Greg Weissert was pitching. And then, you know, they took Judge out of the game and he didn't really see any action in left field. He was basically just sitting out there thinking about things. So when he came out of the game, obviously the reporters were talking to him. And the main subject was Anthony Volpe. And of course it was, because that's Volpe, Peraza seems to be the big story around spring training, other than Judge playing left field. So this is what Judge had to say about Volpe. I think he's got all the makeup tools. He checks a lot of boxes, defensively, offensively. He's a tough at bat. He's got the speed, which is a big factor now in the game. My thing has always been, if you're the best player, it shouldn't matter your age. You should be up helping the New York Yankees. It doesn't matter if you're 19 or 41. If you're the guy for the job, you should be playing. Now, obviously, some things have to happen in order for Volpe to even be playing. And we've spoke about it a number of times already that you know, there's 40-man roster moves that need to be done, and we're not expecting him up right away. But this is a nice, I think it's more of a confidence boost for Volpe going down to the minors, knowing that the captain of the team is speaking this nicely about you.
That's fair. So, yes, so Anthony Volpe is not on the 40-man roster, which means that there would have to be a DFA or an option of a Peraza or something in that regard. Like, something would have to happen roster-wise. We've talked about Estevan Florial potentially being put on waivers because he doesn't have any minor league options left. So that is the obvious one in your face. Another thing they could potentially do, if they wanted to get Volpe on the opening day roster, which don't hold your breath, but another thing they could do is transfer someone like Montas to a 60 day.
So they could
put Montas on the 60 day. That takes him off of the 40 for the time being, and then they could put Volpe up. But I don't think that's going to happen, especially with this timeline. 60 would be pushing it a little bit, I think. It seems like he's less than 60 by the time opening day comes around, probably somewhere around 40 days.
Right.
So I don't think they would put him on the 60. But yeah, so there would have to be some sort of roster move to allow Volpe to jump into the 40-man and then get added to the major league roster. So, I mean, that is also including that there would have to be a major league roster move to the 26-man roster in order for Volpe to be added. So I'm not holding my breath here. I still think Peraza is the guy if you're looking for the backup shortstop, which I still don't even think Peraza might make it. And Peraza's ahead of Volpe. I think you might potentially see Peraza, Volpe at Scranton to start the season, especially get them working up the middle, especially if you see Glaber play really well for Team Venezuela or something like that. Like, it's this, I think the timing is still just a little bit off there. But yes, just in general rule of thumb, it's not as simple as Volpe's on the team now. You have to make a roster move because the Yankees are full up. Of course, if they had another injury that warranted a 60-day stint, then they could do that. Let's say someone else goes down, you know, say, I don't know, Hicks goes down with a broken leg or something in spring training, then they could put him on the 60 and that opens a spot. It's just some sort of move would have to happen. I guess that's the main takeaway here.
Right. And there's been a history of comments like this, because Volpe is a good player. I was thinking about years ago when Phil Hughes was still a prospect and Jason Giambi came out and basically was comparing him to Roger Clemens. I mean, putting pressure on a kid like that is way too much. But some of these guys do that sort of a thing. And not that Judge was doing that, but it was just that kind of took me back to that time when everyone was expecting Phil Hughes to be the next big thing. And, you know, he had a couple of good seasons there for the Yankees, but it was just, no, that didn't work out the way it was supposed to. But I think for Volpe, personally, it's got to be cool being that young and knowing that someone like Aaron Judge is like, yeah, this kid has what it takes. And I'm, you know, this is exciting stuff.
I think being around him last season in September and the early part of October, while we were still playing in AAA last year, very impressed with his presence and his calm demeanor. You know, take stock into that however you see fit. But he acted like a pro. He, you know, didn't let any moment get too big for him. He's very even keeled. You know, and he played well for the most part. Had a little bit of about a 2-week slump there. A week and a half or so where he didn't play that great, striking out a lot. But I think that's also part of, you know, the growing pains, you know, and also it's just baseball. Sometimes you run through slumps, man. But yeah, I still think the best case moving forward for him and his development is to stay in Scranton. He only played like, what was it, like 20-something games, maybe 30 games at max. So I don't think it's worth rushing him when you have the logjam up the middle. And you have Peraza, who already has, albeit very minimal major league experience. But if you're looking at one of those two to be up there, it's going to be Peraza. Remember, Peraza was the September call-up, so there's not really room for him either.
Yeah.
But again, I was impressed with Volpe. I like him. I like his makeup. I think he's a good defender. He's got some sneaky pop. You know, he's not a massive dude or anything, but he's got some pop. So I think patience is the key here when it comes to Anthony Volpe, because it's not like No one's starting it short on opening day. You have guys. You can just put DJ LeMahieu there if you had to. Like, it's right. It'll be fine. And so just don't freak out over any of this.
Right.
Judge said good things about Volpe. That's all that happened here. That doesn't mean anything about how the Yankees front office is thinking, because I think they're thinking, yes, we agree with you, but it's not time yet.
Right. Right. Just a little too early. Like we said, expect it closer to the deadline, maybe after the deadline, or maybe even just the September call-up. You more than likely will see him at some point, but just not early. The NBA playoffs are on the horizon, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scorers and threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
All right, back here for our final segment of the day. Wanted to get you a World Baseball Classic update. By the way, this episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started today. WBC. So not a ton of Yankee chatter here because there's only three guys. One of the teams that doesn't have a lot of dudes in the WBC, Stacey. Higashioka is obviously on Team USA. Nicaragua's got Loaiza, and then Glaber's out with Venezuela, which, by the way, that pool in Miami is going to be ridiculously fun. You got the Dominican Republic, Venezuela, and Puerto Rico all playing in that pool. And two of those three are likely going to be the ones moving on. Remember, two teams move on from each pool to get to the second round. I don't know if you saw this, Stacey. If you're watching on our YouTube site, it'll be up now. The look behind the plate for USA catchers, the Stars and Stripes, are crushing it. Higgy looks pretty good out there. Big smile, tossing it up on MLB Insta. Like, it was nice. It's a good look. I'm about it. How you feeling about maybe not the tournament, but like, let's go in this direction. Jerseys. Team okay. USA didn't change their look very much. So how are you feeling about the Team USA look?
I'm glad you brought this up. I like Team USA. I do. And I love the Tools of Ignorance. I think that's a pretty cool look on Higashioka. But if anyone needs to check out something funny, someone posted, I think it was Chris Creamer, the uniform guy on Twitter, posted a picture of Freddie Freeman's Team Canada jersey. And for some reason, the font on Canada is like the normal Canadian font that even the Blue Jays have, but it's tiny on his chest. And I don't know if it was a mistake on the jersey. It almost looks like it's Photoshopped to look like that. But Chris Creamer was like, no, that's what the jersey looks like. So people were making fun of it and being like, oh, that's really not a good look at all. It's bad. Yeah. But I do like the Venezuela uniforms because I like the ones with lots of colors because that's when you do it. Like, you know, Major League Baseball doesn't really like doing crazy colors. And when the Marlins try to do it, people are always like, ugh, what are they wearing? But yeah. I love when teams kind of go out of the box and make things colorful and pretty. And yeah, I think it's cool. I love the WBC for that.
Yeah, I'm all about it. So we saw Cuba, Netherlands, night one. We saw Chinese Taipei get crushed night one as well. That was like so disappointing for them, especially because they're playing at home, essentially. The bracket with Japan is about to start. So Shohei pitches. Well, if you're listening to this, then Shohei pitched last night. obviously, recording it before that because it's like 3 a.m. I wish I could stay up to watch the Shohei start. But so Dominican Republic, too. I don't love those unis.
Mm.
I am not a fan of the Dominican Republic unis. I think they look a little like slow pitch softball-y, so I'm not about those. Team Mexico crushing. The Team Mexico look is killing it.
Yeah.
I like the USA look. I think it's too safe. I feel like they go a little too safe every time. And I just don't love the USA logo, like the hat logo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just
not
a huge fan of it. I'll be going, by the way. Stacey, you already know this. But to our Locked On Yankees listeners, I will be going to the WBC in Phoenix this weekend. So if you're out there and you see me, say hi. I will be out at Chase Field. I will be going to a couple of USA games when they take on Great Britain, Mexico on Sunday, and Canada on Monday. Very excited for that Sunday night game, by the way. USA-Mexico in Phoenix. It's going to be rowdy. It's going to be real rowdy.
Yeah.
And it's already sold out. So I'm very, very, very excited to be out of the WBC. I've never gone. I've never gone to any sort of tournament like this. So I'm very stoked.
Now, speaking of Team USA, Ben Verlander tweeted out the lineup. It's a pretty good lineup. I mean, you know, when you look at it, Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, Kyle Schwarber, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Kyle Tucker, Trey Turner, JT Realmuto, and Jeff McNeil. I mean,
yeah, it's the U.S. lacks in pitching. There is no denying that they lack in pitching. Waino's going in the opener on Friday against Great Britain. And then after that, I mean, even with Waino, I mean, let's be real. Uncle Charlie's looking like a great uncle these days. But after that, the rotation kind of falls apart pretty quick, especially when you're comparing it to the DR. It's night and day. I mean, Christian Javier is the ace for the DR. And other than that, it's a ridiculous bullpen for the Dominican Republic. And the U.S. has a good back end, I think, with Bednar and Presley. Stacey and I, we were texting about it and, like, I don't know who's going to close. My money's on Bednar closing with Presley setting up in the eighth, but we'll see what D-Row does. I'm excited, though. This is going to be a good tournament. I think USA is a lock to win that pool. You're getting some phone calls over there. I think that might be Mark DeRosa.
Mark DeRosa.
Hey, can you actually get a starter? Is Nestor feeling better?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, he was supposed to pitch.
If they had
that
Nestor.
That makes a big difference.
Yes, that does make a very big difference.
And no Kershaw. Whoever was supposed to be Kershaw and Nestor it would have probably gone Kershaw, Nestor, and then Waino.
Yeah.
And they lost the top two. So now Waino's the ace. Big difference. Big difference. Anyway.
Very big difference.
Don't want to get too into it. Just a reminder, USA plays on Friday at Chase Field. It'll be 10 Eastern, I believe, against Great Britain. That'll be the first USA game, but all the games are on Fox Sports 1, if I'm not mistaken. And they're also simulcasted on the SiriusXM app, which I have I set up for a 3-month trial for free because SiriusXM hands it out like candy on Halloween. I think more people need to start getting into this one. I think this one's going to be the one. This seems to be the WBC to end all WBCs. I think round two is going to be exciting because that's when we'd be able to see USA versus DR. And then Japan coming on the other side of the bracket. I think those are your top three. I think it's pretty clear USA, DR, and Japan, followed by probably Venezuela, Puerto Rico are like kind of interchangeable. They're both very good. Mexico kind of middle of the pack. Netherlands, sneaky good. There's a lot of really good stuff. There's a good Twitter follow, if I may recommend, before we get out of here today, by the way. Sean Spralding. Has been like the guy. I'll leave his Twitter handle in the episode description. If you need any WBC stuff, Sean Spralding is the guy. He is all over it. I'm trying to be all over it too, but you know, I got a million things going on. He's the one getting paid to cover that thing. I get paid to cover the Yankees, and I just happen to be a baseball fan. So, Stacey, who's going to win the WBC?
Oof. I'll go DR.
DR, that's my pick too. I'm picking DR. I think they knock out USA in the second round, and it's going to be like a whole thing, and then it's going to be a revenge tour in 3 years. And then Judge plays. Judge does get the AK to play. I don't know. Send your predictions our way, and by the way, send questions too. All that good stuff.
Yes, that's right. For Friday's show, make sure you leave us questions so we can feature them on the show, and we'll answer them. They don't even have to be. They don't have to just be Yankee related. They can be baseball in general. You know, we spoke about uniforms last week. Who knows what we'll talk about on Friday's episode this week. For now, that's it for Locked On Yankees. Thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen. For your second listen, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Matt and Dom as they bring you the best fantasy draft strategies every day. Find it wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Stacey Gatsoulias, and we'll see you tomorrow.